The deaths of that woman and the two children had been horrible. The tortures they had endured, unspeakable. For the very first time in his career, Stan Dempsey had committed the cardinal sin of letting a case get under his skin. He had allowed himself to imagine the last terrifying hours of the victims' lives, to feel their fear, their helplessness. Those emotions had burrowed down into the core of his brain like some kind of weevil. A sense of toxicity had filled him. He had difficulty sleeping, mostly because he feared the violent dreams of vengeance that plagued him. The dreams had become particularly strong recently, as the trial of Carl Dahl drew near. His lieutenant had been more disturbed than perturbed by the reports from the shrink regarding his twice-weekly lack of cooperation. That was because his lieutenant was a woman, and women always wanted to open up the heads of men and drag their thoughts out into the light like a tangled mess of string to be sorted out and rolled up neatly. She herself had tried to get him to talk. She had expressed concern for his well-being. She had tried to find out if he had a wife or a family member she could talk to in an attempt to end his stubborn silence. But Stan didn't have anyone anymore. People he had been close to over the years had drifted away from him. His wife had divorced him because he was so emotionally closed off, and she needed someone who took an interest in her and in what she needed. His daughter lived in Portland, Oregon, with her life partner. She called on Christmas and Father's Day. He hadn't known how to keep her close. He didn't have the tools, as the shrink told him. He wasn't open or demonstrative or communicative. He only had the job. And now, he barely had that. The powers that loomed over him had pressed for him to take his retirement and go. They didn't see that any use he had left in him was worth the risk of having him around. If he snapped one day and beat some skell to death, or drew his weapon and fired into a crowd, he would cost them millions in lawsuits. Bastards. He was that close to his 30 years and full retirement benefits. He had served the department well and faithfully, and now they wanted to screw him over on his pension because he had suddenly become an inconvenience to them. No. He would sit at that goddamn desk, go to their shrink and stare at her wall, and time would crawl by, and his career would die on schedule, and he would take his full pension and nothing. The thing that kept him going these days was his focus on the Haas case, the pending trial of Carl Dahl. And so he got up from his desk and went across the street and went into the criminal court side of the building. He positioned himself where he would see the attorneys coming away from Judge Moore's chambers. Word was she would rule as to whether or not Carl Dahl's prior bad acts could be entered into evidence at trial. Logan would fight hard for it. They didn't have a hell of a lot of direct physical evidence against Dahl. The case was largely circumstantial, knowing that Dahl had been in the Haas home, that he had been there that day, that an eyewitness had seen him enter the house, that he had left a fingerprint on the telephone, that a neighbor had made a complaint about him to the police just days prior to the murders. But he was the guy. Stan had no doubt. And the murders were something Dahl had been working toward for a long time. He had probably been living that fantasy in his head for years, planning what he would do, ignoring himself to any extreme emotional reaction that would come during the commission of the act so that he wouldn't make mistakes. Stan Dempsey believed that, down to the marrow of his bones. He sat on a bench, crossed his legs, and wished he could smoke a cigarette. A person could hardly smoke anywhere these days. There was even a movement to make it illegal to smoke outdoors in public spaces. Just another little bit of personal individuality being chipped away.